night. No, no, stop it, people. It's Wednesday, hump day. But it's not daytime, get it? All right, let's try this again. Happy hump night. NYC Today Live with Janelle and the Hump Day Recovery Squad. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Live in New York, but broadcasting everywhere. NYC Today Live Talk Radio. Hot topics, family and relationships, business tips and successful habits, beauty tips and product reviews, sports, movie reviews, stupid prank calls, interviews with interesting people and everyday heroes, music from amazing artists that you may not have heard on the radio until now, and so much more.
Isn't that everything?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We'll even ask somebody on a date for you.
Really?
Yeah, basically, we just do what we want and talk about anything we feel like, whenever we feel like it. We really have no focus. Now for your host. It's your girl, Janelle, and her surprise and random co-host.
Happy birthday shout outs to Claire China, Deborah Hayes, Carrie Berry, Paulette Afro Angel, and Cynthia Scott Turner. A happy birthday shout out to all of those people.
Yeah,
there you go. Happy birthday. A double healthy cake and ice cream. If you're lactose intolerant, double the trouble.
Celebrant, where are you? Show yourself. Where are you?
Jolly.
happy birthday, and we wish you the best year ever. Okay, Cass, we're back. We had a whole bunch of difficulties. Everyone who's just tuning in, you know, it happens. This is how it goes. How, you know, showbiz is like that. Sometimes you have your difficulties, but you just got to keep it moving. Today we've got a really serious topic. We've got a young lady that says that she is considering suicide, and where can she get help? And when I saw this, I mean, we've talked about suicide plenty of times on the show and in the past, and we've, you know, run across this question or this issue time and time again. And anytime it comes up in questions and answers where we, you know, glean to answer questions, you know, on Yahoo Answers or wherever we go to find where people have questions, anytime this happens, we have to address that person. We just, like, I had a ton of topics, guys, that I wanted to talk about that we could have chosen, and I was looking at the list, and I'm like, well, this is the most pressing one because this person is asking for help now. So we are going to answer your question, you know, address it. You're very lucky this show because we have new co-hosts with their own experiences, and we also have Se Young, who is a psychologist, and she is going to give you a more clinical perspective. And then you also have myself, who has battled with this myself. So we're going to come back. We're going to play one more song, and I want to play this song for you. I want to dedicate this song to you because this song helps wake me up a lot of mornings, and I think you can benefit from this song. It's by Ida Glavine. It's called Astro Projection.
I haven't gotten
is always understood, and it lives with you always, and not only can eagles fly, but you can too. Cass, we're back. All mics are open. This is, you know, a topic. I want to start this off, right, because, you know, some of you that are close to me, first of all, I want to welcome Al back to the show for a successful surgery. I'm so excited that you're back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So happy.
Yeah.
You have me worried. I'm so happy. But Al knows this, and Valerine also knows this, and this is going to be new to Julius and Say Young, but I do suffer, and I'm open about it. I do suffer with chronic depression. And different things can trigger it, but it's still all the same. And chronic depression is a clinical and nice way of saying, sometimes I don't want to be here. And it's, you know, it's a subject that a lot of people don't talk about. And it's a it's something that a lot of people experience, and I'm not necessarily diagnosed or anything. A lot of people are not diagnosed. In my opinion, a lot of the food that we eat are processed. You know, it's a lot of things, our diets and everything can contribute to our mood, lack of sleep, different things can contribute, lifestyle, the pollution in the air, you know, all kinds of things, you know, substances in the water, chemicals they put in the water, a lot of things contribute to this. But nonetheless, people are still experiencing this, which is a lot of times the reason why you would hear someone committed suicide and everyone's like, what? That person was so happy. Who knew? This person seemed to love themselves. You know, it's a hidden thing. By some people are prideful, you know, and some people are like me. Very few people are like me that will be open and say, hey, I'm feeling this way, friend, talk me down off the roof. But just in case, it appears that you put this question in Yahoo Answers. It appears that you do not have someone to talk you off the roof, and so that is what we are here for. Does anyone want to start? Like, well, first let me read what she says. She says, I'm considering suicide. Where can I get help, please? This is not a cry for attention. It is a very literal cry for help. I'm a young mom. I'm 22 with two sons who I love with every bit of me. I feel as though dying would give them a better life. They would go live with my family, who are amazing people. My husband, who would never get custody, has been out of work for 8 months. He spends a lot of money on just him, things no one else can have. He is also extremely verbally abusive and doesn't treat me well, and is crazy strict on my children. I do really love him, though, and I want my kids to have their dad. I just can't continue to be in agony for my kids to be in agony. I am an extremely involved mother. However, he undermines me in everything. I can't make enough money to pay the bills because it is constantly being spent. I lay awake at night fantasizing about my own death. It's come to the point where it has become the only thing I get joy from, imagining a world without me in it. I have tried to seek help, but I can't afford to with my current financial situation. I can't talk to my husband because when I told him last year, he called me a effing idiot and told me to grow up. I'm really struggling. I want my kids to have their mommy. That's important. And I know killing myself is selfish, but I am having a tremendously hard time fighting this feeling off. Her update. I cannot allow my kids to feel that I've abandoned them. You've made a point. So I will commit to getting help. But can they take my kids if I do that? That would, and Stay Younger answer that. That would be worse than anything I ever could endure. I could not wake up each and every morning and not see my beautiful blue-eyed miracles. If I admit to having a problem and having these thoughts, will they take my boys away from me?
If you're throwing that to me, Janelle, are you throwing that to me right now?
Yeah, I'm throwing that straight to you.
Okay, great. Well, first, before you came back to the show, thank goodness, I was starting to say I actually do have a number of, I have a couple of phone numbers for this person. I don't know if they're in the New York City area, but obviously I do have a couple of numbers for her to contact to get low-cost help. And this institution that I've trained at is really excellent. And again, they'll work with her on the payment side of it. The short answer is no, they can't take your children away. It's not how it works. If she does commit to getting counseling or therapy for her depression, it is strictly confidential. And the only time that a therapist can, legally break that confidentiality is, if she is actively going to hurt herself. So it's about if she's going to hurt herself or somebody else. But if she is in treatment and commits to not doing any actions that are going to be self-harming, so she commits to not acting upon her impulses, and she stays in treatment, then there's no grounds for the fact that she's even getting treatment to be known by anybody. So, that's between her and her therapist or counselor. So those are the grounds. And I'm not sure what she means, like, can they take away her children? I don't know who she means by they. I don't know if there's a divorce situation going on. I don't know if that's what she's referring to.
Just talking about if she admits mm-hmm. to that, will mm-hmm. Will the people that's helping her, notify Child Protective Services or something like that?
No, they would not do so unless she didn't indicate that she's posing any threat to her children at all. I think the thing that, would be of concern for her counselors would probably be that she commits to a no-harm contract, meaning that she agrees not to take any action to hurt herself, even when she's, feeling this terribly. So I think the concern would mainly be for her. So she shouldn't let that worry her at all. But it's also, common when someone is in a deep depression to have these kinds of what we call catastrophic thoughts. You're having, a lot of thoughts that these terrible things are going to happen. And, it's amplified because you also think that you're a terrible person and you think that, it would be better if you weren't here. So you end up going down a thought spiral that's extremely, negative and catastrophic. And, it's not rational thoughts, obviously, because you're in the grip of depression. But it's hard, you know, that's why you're having them. But these thoughts that you have or beliefs that you have, hopefully, I hope that you're aware that they're not true. They're just beliefs. And I know it feels very real to her, but, you know, that would be the first thing that we would work on, right, or she would work on with her counselor if, you know, she were to seek help, and to, for her to recognize that these are just thoughts that are part of the depression that she's experiencing. And the reason that she's feeling depressed is because she listens to these thoughts and it feels real to her and she believes in them. And, you know, unfortunately, though, or, you know, that's why she's experiencing the depression. And if she has just a moment of awareness, or she's able to have a moment of awareness, to realize that these are just thoughts, you know, and you can, that she has a choice to have different thoughts, then she may not, you know, feel the way that she's feeling now. And I would just, you know, leave that for her to consider.
I agree. I mean, one of the things that is good to have is I tend to attract to myself very supportive type of friends, very loyal, supportive, non-judgmental. I have a circle. I created that. I naturally, I think we all create certain circles. Sometimes we got some abusive circles. But I have learned to create some pretty strong support systems for myself. You know, everyone thinks, oh, you got to do certain things. There's a certain thing that you have to do. You have to, you know. But I think the most important thing is, you know, to have a support system. So, you know, whether that's, you know, finding friends in different types of group settings, church or what have you, these groups that, you know, man creates to connect with one another are because we need each other. That's the first thing that I do. The second thing that I do is I use my circle of friends to ground me. And after I feel after I'm grounded, then, and I'm more of myself, because you kind of leave reality, you kind of, the world is falling apart. There's, you know, the earth is moving from under my feet. There's, you know, you have no sense of ground under you. You kind of feel like trouble is going to be forever. It's never going to stop. It's always going to be. But everything is a season. And when you're in that depression, whether it was sparked by a man, you know, you mentioned this guy, your husband, who abuses you verbally, whether it's him or someone else or whatever the trigger, it's still something with you that you're allowing the treatment that you're getting. We all, for myself included. And once you have that grounding, then you can go and you can start reflecting. And I do that through meditation. So I do something called EFT. You can Google that. They have a lot of tapping videos you can do. I do that in the morning to try to pull myself, you know, to get my meridian, get the energy moving in my body. You can research it, but basically it's you tap on all your meridian points and release. There's a lot of blockages in the body. That's one thing I do. Throughout the show, I will give little tips as we, you know, we hear from everybody. Julius, what do you think about this?
As far as the article and this woman in this predicament, I feel like It's unfortunate, but then you hear about these kind of things a lot of the time. And the one thing I got to read a little bit about suicide, and the thing is, it doesn't just come out of anywhere. It's just, it's a culmination of abuse and her being in this kind of a situation where, you know, the abusiveness from the husband, you know, her children, she's being undermined. She feels like she has no real support. I mean, she mentions that, you know, her family are good people, so she figures that, you know, if she's not in the picture, her children will be cared for, her children will be cared for, and the husband won't get custody because he can't find a job. And a lot of the times, like, as you said, like, it feels like you're just kind of, you're lost in it. And I think we did a show of how not to lose yourself, and that Kyle's kind of reverting back to that, thinking about that as you were talking about suicide. And this could be one of the, like, I guess, side effects of when you really get raveled and caught in a lot of the things that happen, you know. You kind of feel like you don't have a support system and, you know, your self-esteem, everything goes down. I haven't clinically, I've never, like, wanted to take my own life, but I've had bouts in life. Like, I think maybe 2 holidays ago, like, around that time, like, I felt, like, really low, a lot of drinking, not really, like, it didn't get to the point where I wanted to take my life, but it was sort of going down that avenue, you know, and I found what helped me was having, like, people to talk to. It didn't happen overnight, but it definitely were, like, breadcrumbs that were put there to just kind of help me get out of whatever situation I was in. So, I mean, I found that very helpful. But,
yeah, I agree with, oh, sorry.
No, okay, I'm done.
No, are you sure? hopefully I didn't interrupt. I agree. Obviously, you know, social support is wonderful. And, you know, of course that does help. I guess for this young lady or this young woman, I'm assuming she's pretty isolated, and it might be due to the abusive relationship and that she's trying to take care of children, her, you know, these two young children. Again, she's talking about, you know, kind of being financially strapped, and, you know, if she can, you know, she could certainly go on to online support groups. You know, there is a lot of online support groups. I don't know her background, but there's a lot of online adult children of alcoholic support groups. I know she may not be an adult child of an alcoholic, but ACOA groups are the support groups that kind of help each other. You know, they're obviously from families of alcoholism, and they end up talking about pretty much anything. And you will find that in that kind of group, people are experiencing depression or, you know, difficult relationships and all the things that she is also experiencing in her life. And there's always free ACOA chapters all over the United States. There's thousands and thousands of them, and their support groups, and they even have them online, so she doesn't really have to go anywhere. But if she is feeling really terrible in these moments, because one of the things about depression is, you know, it's even hard for you to break out of that depressive bubble to actually go out and seek people to connect to. And I know that that's true for a lot of clients. Like, they remain isolated because they feel so terrible about themselves. And the thing about depression is there's three groups of thoughts that are predominant. It's usually negative thoughts about yourself, the future, and others. And since you have those kinds of thoughts, it might be very hard for you to get motivated enough to even seek out other people to connect with. And, you know, that's certainly a real danger and difficulty with such severe depression. But these online groups, you know, they're always available online, or she can just go to any meeting, and there might be several of them in her local area, and they have them all throughout the week at different times. And so all she has to do is go into such a meeting and, you know, be there and share her story. And ACOA groups are so, you know, their main, the hopefully the way that they're run is to just be supportive of everybody. And they, I feel that she would find people who would accept what she's going through and can relate to her, even if, again, she herself is not from a home of alcoholism. I don't know if she is or not. So that's another avenue for her to really get this kind of immediate help that's free, and also where it's supportive and from other people who, as Janelle said, can be caring and, you know, can understand where you're coming from. So that's the other thing that I would recommend for her.
There is a main number that I have, and Sae Young, throughout the show, we're just going to blitz numbers and information. Next, I want to hear from Al and Val. Al and Val.
That rhymes.
About
Al and Val.
What you ladies have to say about this. But before we get to them, the number for National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they speak in language of English and Spanish. Okay, so that's, again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. All right, so Al, Val, either one.
All right, well, I'll just make mine as quick. I just agree. This is Al. I just agree with everything we said. I think support groups and talking to other people would help a lot, you know, and that's about all. I just agree with everybody, with everything that was said.
Thank you. Well?
Well, I've never personally felt any thoughts of suicide before, but I know what it's like to be a young mom. But I think that when she has the support that she needs, she'll be able to get out of the type of relationship that's actually bringing her into that depressive state, which plays a big role in why she's feeling, which what I think is why she's feeling the way she's feeling. And just letting her kids be her motivation.
That's
that
right.
That would be number three. you know, when you have some responsibility, you know, outside of yourself, and you begin to focus on that being your children. For me, I don't have kids, so I'm not gonna lie. This show is the only thing that I have that, you know, when I try to focus. You know, when you think of taking your life, right, when you think of those thoughts of a world without you, you're thinking of a world without you because you're not focused on anything good that you do in the world. You're not focused on anything that you give to the world. But when you start to do things, whether you have children or not, you start to do things and make yourself accountable to someone else, you know, whether maybe join a charity where you're giving back or whatever. For me, it's through the show, I support human trafficking, you know, the end of human trafficking. I support the rescue of children who are being sold into sex slavery. This is my forum to be able to gather, you know, an army of people together to help support the fight against those causes. So when I think, you know, when I ground myself, after I'm grounded, whichever way you do that, whether you go to a professional and get help, or whether you use friends, and once you're grounded, then you need to start seeking avenues for you, because we're talking to you, you need to start doing more with your children, doing more activities, you know, cooking, teaching them how to cook, or drawing, let them draw their ideas, or what they want to be when they grow up, like spending little time with your kids and really focusing on them. It was one time I was on the bus, and I think I told you about this, Val, on my way to work. And I was having a particularly bad day, and I don't think I told you that I was feeling so spark at that time, but I was. I was feeling quite bad. I was feeling quite not wanting to be here. And this little girl and her brother were playing with each other, and she was like 3 years old, and her brothers were like 7 and 10 years old, and they were so protective over their little sister, and the mom was with them. And they were just delightful children. The little girl was like, "You can have some of my chips." And then she was just sharing with everyone. And it was just a beautiful interaction between these little kids. And when I focused on them, I thought to myself, wow, I'm so glad I was here to see that. And I can't explain to you the chemistry or the joy that they brought me just sitting there. And then when they got off the bus, they waved goodbye to me. It was just a very small moment, insignificant, but it was so powerful, and those children touched me in so many ways. I listened to Val show me pictures every day when I was in the office with her of her children and the joy that she gets from them, the experience, you know, her kids, you know, playing in the backseat, and just the joy that she experiences and that I get to experience through her when she's just flipping pictures or when I'm in the car with her. I just, something about kids, man, will just take your breath away and refocus you in a whole different way. So if you have kids, if you're fortunate or lucky enough to be blessed with children, I would say focus on that. Al, what do you think about that thought?
Hello, Al.
I think we lost Al. All right, so anybody can jump in here. Julius,
well, I think that's good. I mean, when you have children, that's something positive that you definitely can focus on. You know, sometimes when you take, you know, the focus off of the problems that you perceive to have and things that are not going right with you, and you put your energies elsewhere, like you with the show and everything, having our project, something that you really love that you feel is going to give great good to someone, it can have some very profound effects on yourself, on your person, on your psyche, and just generally how you feel. And that could be a step in the right direction to the path of healing. So I think that's a very good thing. I don't have any children, but if I were in this situation, you know, in addition to the support groups, having things that I'm passionate about doing, like music, you know, playing the bass guitar, making music. I know music for me elevates my mood and emotionally affects me. That could be a bad thing at times, but, you know, the good part about it is it definitely can be used as an upliftment tool. So I think as far as children, it's a very good idea. Or something that you love, you know, put it there. When you put your mind and concentrate on that, it will work wonders.
I would also like to add with the music, what you were saying about the music, another good thing that you can do is put, like, everyone has phones now. I use my alarm as a phone. You can set your alarm now if you have an Android or iPhone to music. You can wake up with your preference of music. For a while, I used the Ida Devine song. Now I wake up to Flawless by Beyonce. I'll wake up to that because I'm trying to feel more beautiful about myself and more. So, and I do. When I wake up to that, I genuinely feel all right. Only time I get out, I wake up in a sad place is if my alarm doesn't go off and I just wake up naturally. Sometimes I will wake up in a sad place. But every time that I wake up for Flawless, because that's my song of choice of, you know, happiness or whatever, every time I wake up to that, I feel really good because it woke me up telling me, you know, giving me an affirmation that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. This is Al. My phone was on mute, and I was just talking. And I'm like, why are they hearing me?
Oh. Okay.
That's for you with the kids.
But me, you know, far as the kids, I think, you know, like sometimes you have those thoughts or you don't go all the way to the suicide part. But sometimes I have been sick lately. And I wonder, why am I here? What am I doing? You know, I stay so sick most of the time. It's like sometimes I just want to give up, you know. So I think about my kids, and I say, well, I got to stay. I got to be here, and I got to be strong, and I got to be here for my kids. So I think my kids and family and friends alone, seeing how much they care about me, helps me a lot to stay kind of focused on getting better versus just giving up and saying, get it. So I agree with, you know, kids and on things that going to help you, that you love, and that's going to help you to get better. And when you focus on those things, you don't want to leave because you don't want to hurt them. If you leave, you're hurting them. So you want to be here with them and share some of the good times of life with them. So I agree with that about the kids and things and friends.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, and then we're going to turn it over to Sayan and then Val. Al just went through, you know, having surgery, scared the crap out of me, you know, and you were telling me, you know, all the people that was just there, like everybody was just there, you know, your family, everyone was just coming, and you saw how much, you know, people had your back, how much people wanted you to stay, you know. And it was emergency heart surgery. It was like she woke up, said, oh, I'm tired, let me go to the doctor, see what's wrong, and they put her on surgery. So, you know, when you in that support system, just like what you said, I'm just reiterating what you just said, makes you say, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to beat this surgery, and I'm going to beat this cancer, I'm going to beat all of it. And I'm glad you're going to beat it. And you used to tell me, Janelle, if I'm still kicking you off the tooth, if I feel good, I got to find a way to feel good, you know? And you're right about it. So, you know, and Alice is fighting, you know, you say you don't mind me saying, so Alice is winning against cancer, and she is often talking me off the ledge, and my problems are nowhere near the things that she, you know, wins against and endures. So, and not to belittle anyone's problems, you know, Sayoung and then Val, let me get to Sayoung first. Sayoung, what do you think about, in terms of the abuse, how much does that, you know, she's being verbally abused. My opinion, that's sometimes worse than being hit.
Yeah,
how much is that playing into it? What's
crap ton. That's how much it's playing into it. I mean, of course, it's a significantly problematic situation. And, of course, being in an abusive relationship is certainly a contributing factor to her depression. You know, I'm going to say something that may be difficult for general people or lay audiences to kind of understand, and even the, you know, maybe accept, not understand, but accept, and also maybe even the writer herself may not be aware of exploring this avenue, but you know, of course, her current abusive relationship is a terrible situation, and of course, that's contributing.
But I hope that what she eventually gains, if she does seek long-term psychotherapy or counseling, is that once she's stabilized from her severely or actively depressive symptoms, once she gets a little bit of stabilization, and I hope that once she actually seeks a counselor or therapist, she would also be referred to a psychiatrist for evaluation for medication. In case it's, you know, her depressive symptoms are so severe that she really should take something for the short term to stabilize her symptoms. So she should get all of those kinds of avenues of help. But once she gets into therapy and counseling and she's no longer, you know, actively suicidal or feeling that way, I hope she can explore why she was actually able to get into such an abusive relationship to begin with, because there is some reason that this person, you know, she decided to be with this person. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that most of the time the abusive behavior starts pretty early. And you know, people usually, in retrospect, when they look back, realize that there are always signs that the person was abusive, but yet you kind of let that happen. So I hope that she can explore that for herself and go a little bit more deeply into, you know, why she may have had maybe low self-esteem to begin with, because depression also comes very directly from low self-esteem. So as I said, one of the main areas that you have negative thoughts about is yourself. That's actually what causes depression. And so she does have to explore her low self-esteem as well, and I hope that she does pursue that and, you know, eventually overcomes all of that and transforms herself to the happy life that she deserves.
I agree. And let me say this. This show, right, when my cast come together, we all can say whatever we want. You know, because even to play the devil's advocate, I'm going to give an example, then I want Val to come to the floor on, I know you got something to say about mother to child, like some real stuff to say. So I'm going to play the devil's advocate and talk about selfishness and not having gratitude, right? So being in a bad relationship, everything is a reflection. And I'm talking and I'm telling you, it might not seem like it from, you know, you listening to the show, but I'm telling you, I deal with depression myself, right? So I'm talking to myself as well. When people treat you bad, it is a reflection. They are treating you, they are talking, it's you talking back to yourself. It's a spiritual thing, right? Right? It doesn't matter what religion you're in, every religion believes in the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping doesn't just happen karma-wise. Oh, if I do good to others, good is going to come back. It also is what you sow into yourself. Someone somewhere maybe could have told you you weren't any good. Maybe it was a baby. It started somewhere.
Right.
But the
That's
moment
right.
you took it and you owned it, then you planted it. Right? So if your teacher said you no good, or your mom said you just like your daddy, or your daddy said you a slut just like your mama, or whatever, whoever said something, the moment that you owned it and then you repeated it inside yourself, now you're sowing the seed. So once you sow the seed, then it's going to reap a harvest. And those branches become people that we see that do things and say things, and I knew she was going to say that. Well, and I do it too, but I know mentally from what I know about the law of attraction, the law of life, and the law of sowing and reaping, I know that I must have thought that myself. Now, I don't excuse that person normally for what they did to me, but still, yet it's still I attracted, even if that person is always like that, I attracted that person to come my way. The people who, you know, put people down or hurt people, whatever, mm-hmm. are not attracted to people who don't have that one inside. They
That's
be
right.
Like, I don't know, she's too happy, I can't deal with her.
It's about vibration. It's about vibration, Janelle, right? And frequency.
Yeah, can you get into that before Val really give us off on the children? I'm gonna let you end it, Val, with because I think that that's important about the mother to child. I think that is right. I mean, I think that that's kind of what she really needs to hear. So I want you to end the show with that. Can you talk a little bit about vibration for young?
Okay. But Val first, right?
No, you and I'm going to let Val end the show.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was just agreeing, Janelle, that it's about vibration. What you said is that, you know, someone who is being abusive, like her husband is, he would only become attracted to her, or they would only become attracted to each other when I believe that the writer has had some experience of, you know, getting that kind of treatment somehow before, like from other aspects in her life. And so, you know, someone who is almost like, you know, her vibration is that she's expecting someone to be abusive to her in some way because she experienced it before, you know, she can be very vulnerable to, you know, attracting somebody who wants to be abusive. So it's kind of like a match, you know, it's kind of a very unhealthy match where you kind of connect on the same frequency or vibration level. And as Janelle was saying, as soon as you kind of clear your frequency and go into a higher vibration of health, and knowing how you deserve to be treated, then you'll attract other people around you who will treat you the way that you deserve, which is to be loving towards you and respectful towards you and not abusive. That's all.
All right, Val, take it away.
Honestly, once you become a mom, like me personally, once I became a mom, whatever I was feeling, I try to push it to the side because they are the main focus. You know what I mean? So it's a thing where, yes, obviously you still got to think about yourself as a woman because you're a woman first. But to think that your children will be better off without you, they came from you. They need you.
That pretty much is on point. Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids need you. Your kids need you. And I couldn't say it one more time, Val.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. Your kids definitely need you.
And that's all we got for you. If you have any more questions, hit us up at contact@nyctoday.info. Be blessed. Get some help. Again, that number is, I got a different number for you, 1-888-333-2377. Another number is, that's the number I gave you before, 1-800-273-TALK, that's 8255. Another number is, that's the same number. All right, so those are the numbers, and Se-Young got some numbers for you if you're in New York.
Yeah, I don't know if she's in the New York City area, but I'd like her to contact the National Institute for Psychotherapies, and they're located in Midtown Manhattan, so very convenient. And their number is 212-582-1566. Again, the number is 212-582-1566. And they're a low-cost center for psychotherapy and counseling. So if she wants to explore that, I feel that, you know, they would be able to provide something that she can work with. And the other resource I want her to go to for sure is the Adult Children of Alcoholics website. So their website is www.adultchildren.org. And on the first page, she can click on for online or telephone meetings. And I want her to know that this is such a great resource because you can always get a sponsor at the ACOA meetings. And so a sponsor is someone who kind of takes you on and mentors you, and it's someone that you can call when you really need help or need to talk to someone right away because you're feeling really terrible. And so these groups can have people like that she can get hooked up with, and again, they could be a really great lifeline for her while she's going through this difficult period.
Thank you. And I hope you get, I know you're going to get the help that you need. And again, we're always here for you on the hump, every hump day, Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can contact us right here at nyctoday.info, and we will always be there for you. Peace out. Everybody say bye.
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 Happy hump night.
Our time is up. We'll be back next week. But if you've acquired an addiction,
you can't. You can't give in. You can't give in!
I love NYC Today. Oh, my God. I just love you guys.
Okay, go ahead then. Follow NYC Today Live Talk Radio now.
Push it! Push it! You can do it! Push the blue button!
And follow us everywhere.